ordained by God. Hallelujah. Amen. If anybody hadn't filled out a faith promise slip, amen, we have some extras for everybody to participate. Whose report will you believe? What do your Bible say? You know, we love hearing, oh, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Everybody knows that scripture. But my God, when He delivered the children of Israel out of bondage for 400 years, He says, I will be a blessing unto you, and all the disease that I put on the Egyptians, I am not going to... There was no doctor vocation in the children of Israel. They didn't need doctors, amen, because they had Almighty God to heal them and to take care and supply all their needs. But because of sin, we get sick. My wife is not here today. She's at home in bed. Because a bad person, it just comes with the flesh. Amen. But I know people have been healed in this house. Amen. God has used people to be healed. Amen. So when we get a report and we want to testify, we need to be knocking each other over to say, hey, let me tell you what God has done for me. Amen. Because it gives Him praise. Amen. And it edifies the body of Christ. Because somebody may be going through something that they may be scared to step out on. But if we step out, amen, then they can get the courage to do so. Amen. I'm going to be talking about faith today, but in a different way. Kind of faithless that we lack. Amen. But, and this is, the title of this is actually the first message that I've preached in the year 2006. But I'll get to that. Amen. I'm going to be reading from three portions of scriptures to set my text. Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 through 32. John chapter 15, verse 16. I'll repeat them. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Matthew 14, 28 through 32. John 15 and 16 and Jeremiah 1 through 5. Matthew 14. 28 through 32. And we all know this story. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. See, we ask for a lot of things. We pray for a lot of things, but sometimes we don't recognize the blessings and things have got, how God answers us, because first of all, we may be looking for an answer our way. And how we see that we want it to be done. But we need to be able to recognize the voice of the Master. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Amen. He did the miraculous. Peter couldn't do it unless Jesus bid him to come. First of all, he had to ask. If you need something for God, you got to go after. God ain't just going to hand you things. God ain't just going to make you holy and make you do right. First of all, you got to want to do it. And then you got to take a step toward Jesus and let Him know, I mean business. God, I'm just not talking. Because we talk, we get up, we pray, we cry, we go to the altar, but we get up and we do the same thing. We can have good services. Go out the door, we have an argument going home. Amen. It's by nature, but we got to strive always to go towards Jesus. Amen. And Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith. Amen. Why? You walking on the water already. He was already in the supernatural. Why are you going to turn around and doubt? He blessed you once before. He healed you once before. So why are you doubting that he can't do it again? He talked about being on, it's a time for everything. And everything is on God's timing. And while you're waiting for your answer, you need to be about His business. You need to continue to pray, continue to witness. Don't just sit and say, I'm not going to make a move until I get the answer. No, we got to be moving at all times. He says, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. John 15 and 16. Jesus says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. You have to realize that the Bible says that no man can come to God unless he draws you. People just don't wake up in their right mind and say, you know what, I want to go to church and be a good person. No, that's God is drawing you. Amen. That you should go and bring forth fruit, and that fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. There's scriptures in the Bible that we as the people of God, if you want to serve God, that they have to become personal to you. Jesus says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I ordain you, I will equip you to do the things that I ask you to do. Don't worry about your abilities and talent, because what I'm calling you to do is supernatural. Your human skill, your human knowledge really can't do anything for the kingdom of God. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spirits, against rulers of the darkness of this world. It takes the Spirit of God to give understanding of even the Word of God. Jeremiah 1 and 5. This is the Lord talking to a young man that God has called. He says, Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. That is an awesome statement. And before thou camest out of the womb, I had already sanctified you, have already given you a ministry. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. And he told him what he was supposed to be. God has already, all you have to do is answer and say, God, I will obey you. Everybody wants to be preachers. Everybody wants to get up front. Amen, hallelujah, and preach the word of God. But you got to count the cost, what it's going to take for you. What it takes to get up here, to do anything for God. He says, the world is going to hate you for my name's sake. Are you ready to go through that? Are you ready to forsake houses and family? The people that you used to love is not going to love you if they don't want Jesus. You got to count the cost and realize that, amen, it gets lonely to be a pastor because you're on an island by yourself because the people won't understand what it takes. When you get to do anything and God calls you, people won't understand you because it's God's talking to you. And it's not for nobody to understand except for you to be obedient. Amen. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I'm asking your anointing and blessing upon the word today, Almighty God. Don't let it fall on deaf ears, God. Your word says, Almighty God, that your word will not return void, God. Lord, remove all things, human or demonic, spiritual, Lord, that will prevent us from getting and from hearing what you have to say here today. Open up our understanding of the scriptures, Almighty God. Let there be healers and signs and wonders, Almighty God. Follow as you confirm your word, Almighty God. Touch those who are not here for whatever reason, Almighty God. Let the Spirit of truth go out upon this island, upon Asia, and upon the world, Almighty God. Oh, Lord, that you may be glorified in all that we do. And I ask this, and everybody say, in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. How come it seems people believe, amen, truth and have faith in God until something happens? We can be living for God, we know, but we get taught about faith. We get taught about trust. That's the foundation. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible. I'm going to be talking about faith today because this is lacking in the church, even with the Holy Ghost. Even with signs, wonders, and miracles, the children of Israel, they complained every turn that they got like God wasn't God anymore. But how come we can believe and trust and have faith in God when things are going okay? But the minute that things happen that we can't control and we don't know where it comes from, all of a sudden we're like, where is God? He was here yesterday. But we forget when the rubber meets the road of being a true Christian, and then we turn and act like the rest of the people who don't know God. We forget where He brought us out from. And this is a problem in the church. It has always been. But God wants to address this. Because you have to remember, there's precept upon precept. For this church, God has given us, amen, scriptures and monthly theme. January, what was it? Sacrificing for the kingdom, was it? Is it? Sacrifice, come on, get with me. Sacrificing for the kingdom, what was number two? Bearing your cross. And three, we're talking this month on counting the cost. So what I'm going to talk about today, because when you sacrifice for the kingdom, we do, financially, family-wise, and everything. But when you start bearing your cross, there's a lot of things that come with it. When you decide to live for God, the moment, amen, because your taskmaster, the Egyptian king, Pharaoh, or Satan, if you will, the minute that you says, I want to be set free, he says, not on my watch. If you want to go out, it's going to cost you. You're going to have to sacrifice something. Everybody who lives for the devil, he may give them riches. He may give them fame. You could be the best tennis star in the world, the most bass guitar, whatever case may be. And the devil just says, well, all you got to do is worship me. And they say, okay. But when the times come to pay up, he just says, oh, yeah, what I require of you is your soul. And then they try to back out of the contract. But then we're talking about counting the cost. These three things, sacrificing, bearing the cross, and now counting the cost, there's a price to pay. God has to test you and prove you. But there's things naturally and supernaturally that comes against you because you are a child of God. And you decide to live for Him. And this is where we're at today, that God, there's things in God that you have to ingrain in your spirit and ingrain in your heart. The Word of God has to become a part of you just like your hands and your eyes. And you don't think about things. You don't think about your hands. Well, hand, make sure you pick up the food. It just naturally happens. And as a child of God, living for God, the Word of God, led by the Spirit, things have to become natural to you. Praying. Having faith. Having trust. That's why in the beginning through the children of Israel, He says, I'm going to bring you out with signs, wonders, and miracles. So when I bring you through, you will have no doubt that I am God. And there's nothing too hard for me. Amen. But this is where you have to come and realize, you know, we train in the military. We train 11 months out of the year and we go on one exercise. But the military ingrained that you train and train and train to be till it becomes second. So when the bullets start flying, this is the wrong time to say, well, this, how do I use my gun? That's the wrong time to be trying to flip through the manuals and find out, well, what do I need to do? And when the devil hits, when trials and tribulation hits, when sickness is, it's the wrong time. He says, oh, what did God say? Well, where is God? It's the wrong time to try to find Him. Amen. How come people let situations, problems, and even other people dictate and control their lives? People allow things that happened to them when they were a kid still dictate who they are, how they react, and all these things when they're 40, 30 years old. Other people still control of a parent who was a dictator, or things still scared of their mom and dad when they're grown. Scared to tell them the truth. How you feel you're a grown man or woman. Even people throughout the world. But we let things and situations dictate us. Who we are. But see, when we come to God, when we're buried in baptism, when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, His voice should dictate, amen, how we should live, who we are, what we should say, how we should live, all these things. Again, the Holy Ghost, you're just on cloud nine. Man, because the love of God is just so overwhelming. The peace of God that comes upon you, your mind, your flesh, your heart can't even imagine. But it's after we come down off this Holy Ghost high. It's when we start living life again, now being a new creature, that all of a sudden, then we start questioning, well, is this real? You already get Satan immediately come to you in the mind and says, you're not speaking in tongues. Well, God don't love you. Well, the people don't love you. Look how they act. All these things come against us immediately. Amen. But we allow, this in turn is allow our emotions. Do anybody know about emotions? Oh, man, you happy one moment? Crying one moment? Hey, man, hallelujah, you're doing good one week, and the next week you're ready to throw in a towel. By emotion. Because, first of all, the people who are close to us and love us the most, if they're not living for God, if they're still not on board, amen, it drives you crazy. Hey, man, you know that spirit of depression, we leave open doors in our lives. Amen, these are the spirits and principalities that we wrestle with. That's why we have to die to ourselves and to our flesh and to our will. But we allow our emotions to get the best of us. And I don't care how old you get and how mature you get, in the number of age when emotions hit, and these things, you act like a little baby. You act like you don't have no sense. We do, because that's just life. But there is a God, His name is Jesus, that says, amen, that there I give you a peace that passeth all understanding. They that just wait on me for my answer, I shall renew your strength. He says, I won't give you a spirit of fear. I've taken that from you. Instead, I'll replace it with love, peace, and a sound mind. Amen. For some people just get a day, a night's rest and peace, that they don't hear the voices. They don't go back over and over again and play the things in their mind that happened to them, that left such a devastating effect. Our emotions. People have only one solution most of the time, only one way out. That's suicide. If I can kill myself, I won't hear the voices. I won't feel the pain no more. All these things, but that's not the answer. And the title of this message today, again, is the first message that God has had given me and that I preach. The title is, I want you to listen. We're talking about sacrificing for the kingdom, bearing the cross, now counting the cost, and living for God. But one thing that you have to ingrain in your spirit, in your mind, in your soul, is that your purpose is greater than your circumstances. And God has given me this message after coming from a devastating incident in my walk with God. Didn't know why, didn't know how. I knew it was heavy. For me and my family, we're talking about quitting and all these things, and I cried and I repented and weeped to God for weeks. And one day, He says, you cried enough. He says, you finished now? He says, get up and be about my business, because your purpose is greater than any circumstances that you're going to face. And from that moment on, I never whine, I never complain, and I always know that God is real. Because when I came, God gave me a message that I preached before. You have to go through to be brought out. God has to take you through some things. You have to go through the fire so you can go through to be brought out, because your miracle is on the other side. So you need to realize that your purpose is greater than any circumstances and any situation that you can ever face. God didn't call people just to come sit in church. God called you for a reason. He told Isaiah, before I knew you, before you were formed in your mama's womb, I knew you. And before you came out, I had already sanctified you, ordained you, and given you a ministry that you will be a prophet unto the nations. So that, first of all, he was saying, Jeremiah, because I've called you and I ordained you, your purpose is going to be greater than the circumstances that you're going to face. And if you continue to read Jeremiah, the Lord told him, hey, don't be afraid of their faces, because when you start going to preach in my name, they're going to badmouth you, they're going to try to kill you, they're going to do all these kind of things. But remember, Jeremiah, that your purpose is greater than your circumstances. And this, when I was praying earlier, the Lord spoke to me and says, you know what? This is about faith. This is a faith message. Because if God has already filled you with the Holy Ghost, a supernatural experience, if God has already been healing you, healing your marriage, making you whole, giving you peace, a love and sound mind, you got to know that God is real. So when situations happen, you don't just start forgetting where God is, forgetting the scripture. You're not using them. You're not trusting. It's a faith problem. But that's why you have to go through some things first, early in your walk, so God can say, hey, now that you know, like the children of Israel, signs, frogs and hail, and the firstborn died. And the minute they get 30 yards out of Egypt, they're like, dude, it was better than peace. God, we don't like the food that you give us. We'd rather have the food back in Egypt. It was a faith. God was like, Moses, let me kill these people. How can they even dare to say that? I brought them out with a mighty hand and signs, wonders, and miracles. And then he's going to say, well, God must don't love us anymore. Come on now. That's a faith issue. See, while things are going good, hey, God is good. But where is God now that my finances are running out? Where is God now that I got a bad doctor's report? Where is God now that my husband or my wife saying that they want a divorce? Or the military says, you know what, we got too many E3s or E4s and time for us to put some of you out. What about some of us with unsaved spouses? All of a sudden we forget it. So you need to remember this and get this in your heart, that your purpose is greater than your circumstance. Your circumstances is going to happen. They happen every 15 minutes. You can get a phone call from the States. Guess what? You got drama back home. That's why God had put me overseas for so long. He says, you don't need to be in that mess. You can be 1,000 miles away. They can't just pick up a plane ticket and come visit you. They can call, and I'll be like, well, you know what? Hey, sorry, the connection is kind of bad. Way over here, no connection. I don't do that, though. You know what I tell them? You need to get Jesus. I tell them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hey, man, but your purpose, everybody say that, my purpose is greater than my circumstances. Because next week, you're going to get some circumstances. Maybe even tomorrow when you go back to work, because it's Monday. But you need to get this. Because this is what's going to carry you through. This is what is the anchor, because it's a faith issue. God says it's impossible to please Him without faith. See, there's a lot of faithless people sitting in churches, and God is not pleased. Because it's like, how can you forget? How could you lack faith when I've already given you the Holy Ghost? When I allowed you to be baptized in my name? When I revealed truth to you? When I've done all these things that you can't do? You can't figure it out. It's a faith problem. Who created the world? Can't hear you. Who created the world? All right. Who created man? All right. Who has all power? Who knows all things? So who do you think is anything too hard for God? Your purpose is greater than your circumstance. The circumstances will come when the people was feeding the poor. And Judas, when they sold the ointment, and Judas said, don't you know we could have took that ointment and sold it for a lot of money and fed a lot of people. Jesus turned to Judas and says, the poor you will always have. There's always going to be needs. There's always going to be, we always going to want something. See, I can get on the ladies, they don't have enough pairs of shoes. Your wife, hey man, your girlfriend, whatever case may be, will never have enough purses. That, I don't care. You can try to justify it as a man, like, but you got 15 pairs, but I don't have the exact color of this dress. Guess what? She got to get another pair of shoes. Man, I mean, fishing poles and stuff. Come on, see? I knew I was going to hit something. Tools, electronics. Guess what? Man, the iPad, the new one is coming out next week, but you just bought one, so don't let me see. You got a new one. See, there you go. We scheming and conniving, boy, to get something that we want. But your purpose, it's always going to be greater than your circumstance. Hey, man, God's purpose has been greater than man's circumstance always. Because He was God, He created us. He has the answer and the solution to all problems. Amen. And He will always be greater. Amen. Who allowed things to happen? God allows you to go through certain things. He put you right in the midst of it to say, hey, you need this. I need to check you and to make sure that you still love me like you say you do, like you front when you out in front of the public. Oh, I'm a Christian, everybody hanging their crosses and carrying their Bibles, but not living for God. So He has to put you in the midst of things to make sure to keep us in check. You know, one of the scriptures says that these people, they draw nigh to me with their lips. Oh, God, we love you. Lord, I'll do anything, but their hearts are far from me. God knows all things. So God's purpose for the children of Israel was so great that He chose them out of all the people of the world to represent Him. And then He brought them out with a stretched out arm and a mighty hand. He didn't have to, but He wanted to prove and show them, hey, man, that I am God Almighty and I can do all things. Because after I teach you my commandments, and after you learn a little bit of my words, and I send you out into the world as sheep among the wolves, but you're anointed sheep. Hey, man, things are start going to happen to you that you ain't going to wish that ever happened. See, some people, they get the Holy Ghost, they start serving God, and then things start happening. They're like, man, I had it better when I wasn't serving God. But see, the devil's not going to mess with you when you're not a threat. But when you get the power of God living inside you, because the Word says if it's God inside you, and God created Satan and all these things that happened, He says the heavens is my chair and the earth is my footstool. He's Almighty. He says you put the devil under your foot. I put the devil under the foot of the church. Guess what? I'm the church. You're the church. The devil knows that. Satan knows that. That once you get the Holy Ghost, that he can't do nothing to you. You have power over him. But if he can keep you through circumstances, amen, to keep your life in topsy and turmoil, your mind won't be on serving God. Your mind and your flesh and your emotions will be saying, how can I get out of this? This hurts. Why do it have to happen? Well, God, how come? And you get the voices, well, if God loves you, then why allow you to go through this? Well, it's because he loves you that he allowing you to go through it. Because your purpose is greater than your circumstance. He personally led them by the hand and going to possess the land that he told them. It's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. He says it's going to be houses because I'm going to go before you and already fight the battle. I'm going to wipe the inhabitants out. You're going to have houses you don't have to build. You're going to have farms and lands that you won't have to plow. You won't have to do nothing but just go in and possess it. That's all you got to do is go in and visit anybody. Excuse me, this is my house. Matter of fact, I don't like this one. I like that one right there. It's got a pool in it. I'm claiming this one for me. He says all you got to do is be obedient and just go and possess it. When Moses, before Moses was going to be taken up, amen, if you will, before he was going to go lay with his father, he gave them blessings. He gave them the law of God. But in the end, he says, I go on record this day. Heaven and earth is going to be the judge. He says, if you will obey God, you will have these blessings. But if you will not, there's going to be curses. Consequences. But faith. He says, if you just continue to have faith, because he showed signs, wonders, and miracles before you, he already displaced all your enemies. Can you imagine? Going into a new track, development, all these houses, and God just says, whichever one you want is yours. Just go and possess. But you may get some people saying, hey, what you doing in this neighborhood? Get out of here. And you get scared and run away. That's not their fault. It's your fault. God has already given you a word for some people in here. God has been talking to some of you week after week. He's given you words. He's given you promises. He's given you instructions. But it seems like still a Wednesday come and a Sunday come. And you got to get another word because of situations. If God's given you a word, he's given you a promise, you better hold on to it. It will come to pass. He says, I'm going to bring you into a land. But see, there was a generation, the first generation that came out of Egypt, where he says, I'll get ahead of myself. Get ahead of myself. He says, all you have to do is to fear God and keep his commandment. For this is the whole duty of man, Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's pretty simple. As a man, they say, just feed me and wash my clothes. I'll be a good husband. That's all you got to do. God's circumstances that he has ordained you, you have to realize that. You didn't come to God on your own accord. God, with his loving kindness, is drawing you. Visitors here today, God drawn you to this place for you to hear the word that you're going to get today. God wants you to feel the touch of his spirit that you're feeling here today because he's drawing you. He's trying to tell you. He's trying to show you something, because when you leave this place, he's going to leave you with a word for you to go and get direction. He says it's his circumstance that he's already ordained you. He's ordained people to accomplish his purpose. He's calling people to the kingdom to help to restore the kingdom. To reach, amen, to seek and to save that which was lost. He came down, he taught 12 men. And he gave Peter the keys and says, I'm going away. Y'all need to finish my business. I'm going to give you and do you with power from on high to do it. And whatever you need, you just ask in my name and I'm going to give it to you. Amen. People allow circumstances to be greater than their purpose. Why are you going to let an earthly situation, people let earthly situations con them out of their spiritual blessing? Whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? When I read the Bible, there's all kind of blessings and promises that the people of God get come down from Abraham because he was faithful to God. The reason God saved you and brought you out and delivered you and is trying to deliver you, amen, because your purpose is far greater than any circumstance can ever be. Else he wouldn't be God if he can't deliver you out of your situation. You can go back and say, God, you're not God. You're not mighty enough. That's why Moses interceded for the children of Israel. Because God says, just stand back, Moses. I want to kill all these people. Because they're stiff-necked. They won't listen to me. No matter what I do for them, they still deny me. They still disobedient. But Moses says, but Lord, what are the other people going to say? What are the people around going to say that, God, you could deliver them? Then what that's going to be like on your reputation, God? He says, you're right, Moses, but you better get them out my face. You read the Bible about the children of Israel. They got on God's last nerve. And God was silent to them for numerous years. Our purpose of reaching the lost, preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ is a far greater purpose than making money, getting education, of all these things. Because heaven and earth is going to pass away. You can get a disease and be just as dumb as a box of rocks. But your purpose for God, of why God called you, why God saved you, to represent Him so He can get the glory, not only for you, your family, and for all the generations to come, but for the people that we work around. I have unsaved family members that reject the message that I bring to them. They know me. They know how I live. But yet they can say, well, that's just good enough for you, huh? McFly, I lived with you all my life and you know how much of a scum I was and my thoughts and all these things, but when God miraculously saved me now, He can't save you or He's not good enough for you. Tell you people's thoughts in their mind. He says in Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man that if he gains the whole world, you could be the richest man, have all the stuff you want, but you lose your soul. It's not worth it. That's counting the cost. That's counting the call. Noah, he says, don't worry about your surroundings. Hey, man, he says, don't worry about what people are going to say while you building this boat that I told you to build. Well, it never rained. Noah, what the heck are you talking about? What is rain? You talking nonsense. Well, God didn't tell you. Well, who is this guy? We can't see him. We had partying and drinking, and Noah's still building this boat. What is a boat? Matter of fact, somebody tell me. I don't know. Go ask Noah. That dude's crazy. People ain't going to understand when God is calling you to do something. You may not even understand yourself. You just need to be obedient. Because God knows the beginning from the end. He knows what... That's why He said in the Scripture, don't worry about tomorrow. You need to even just take it. Today's situation, today's circumstances, today's trial is enough for you to handle. See, we worry about next week and the day after. God said, you need to just take care of today. Have peace for today. Because when you wake up, guess what? Situation's going to be there. You can start all over again. And we do that. Some of we can't go to sleep. 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, still tossing and turning. By the time it's time to go to wake up, amen. We go to sleep, it's time to wake up. And now we're tired on top of all the other stuff. But your purpose, you got to realize, is greater than your circumstances. Amen. Noah, don't worry. Noah, you may not understand now, but you will not understand it yourself. As you're going through it, you still won't understand. But when you allow God to take you through, when you wait on God, when you trust in God, when you have faith in God, and you allow Him to take you through, once you get out and you can breathe, and say, woo-wee, God, I don't never want to go through that again. But then He opens and unfolds the picture and says, this is the reason why you had to go through hell and high water. Because you know your mama back home that curses me and drink like a sailor or whatever the case may be, she's about to come and fall down and worship me because of your obedience. You know all the people around you that don't like you and the people that you used to run with that don't want to be around you no more? Hey, man, I'm about to bring out a great deliverance. deliverance. Amen. You know your son that got this disease that the doctors can't fix. Guess what? Just lay hands on him and call upon my name, and I'm going to do signs, wonders, and miracles. That your purpose is always going to be greater than your circumstances. People are going through things right now. You pray, it seems like nothing is happening. But you need to hold on to God. If you're serving God, if you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing according to the Word of God, not what you think and what you feel or somebody else taught you. If God doesn't deliver, then you put Him on the spot. You can put God on the spot and say, God, I've been living for You the best that I can. According to Your Word, I've been doing everything that I'm supposed to do. Your Word says that if I will be obedient to You, Your Word says, God, it's not my word, God is Yours. That if I ask anything in Your name, God, You're going to do it. And so, guess what, God? And God, you know what He's going to say? You're right. You have been living for Me. You have sacrificed. You have been doing well. All the things that I've asked You to do. You know what? Just go. He told the lepers, okay, you believe? Just go show yourself to the priest. While they were on their way, they got healed. As you continue to live for God, your blessings is going to happen automatically. You're going to get that promotion where you think that you shouldn't even got. You're going to start having favor with man. Now all of a sudden, people who used to talk bad to you, all of a sudden they'd be like, hey man, guess you know what? Can you pray for me? Where'd this come from? Last week y'all were talking about me and holy rollers and all this other stuff. But now it seems like something changed. It's because God. You got to go through. You have to go through the fire to be proved and tested. Amen. This is the very reason why the people of God, you must die to your flesh. This is the very reason, amen, that a person has to give everything to God. Because people, we still try to hold back things. I'm going to live for God, but you keep one little thing just in case God is not God. And you're not totally trusting and you're not totally having faith. That's why God had me preach about secrets. You need to get rid of those things. You can't be holding anything back. Ask Ananias and Sapphira. This is the very reason why we must be obedient and trust God when things, especially when we don't understand and we try to figure it out ourselves. We already know that His ways are not our ways. We already know that His Word says, lean not unto your own understanding, because if you had good understanding and wisdom, you wouldn't need God. God allows us to go through stuff and put circumstances in our lives to teach us, to test us, to perfect us, so we can grow and become mature and have and put an influence and trust and love in Him. Deuteronomy 8:2, He says, and thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led these 40 years in the wilderness. Why? To humble thee, to prove thee, to know what is in thine heart, whether thou would keep My commandments or no. That's why we say, God, I love You. Well, let me put a situation in your life. Let me check. Let me see. Throughout the children of Israel's journey, they let their flesh dictate and control them to a point to where circumstances, they became slaves for 400 years. Instead of the God-given circumstances, see, God put things, and He has controlled chaos, if you will. He allowed you to go through things for a reason. And you have to accept these things. When you're going through something, no matter whether you feel from God or by your own hands, you have to say, God is in control of all things. And He won't allow me to go through nothing unless He needs to test me. He's trying to teach me something. And whether it's for my good or whether it come from the outcome of what I want, He's in control. And you have to accept whatever it is. It makes your life easy. It gives you peace. Well, God, when am I going to come out? When I tell you, you're going to come out. God may just say, shut up and cover. Trust in Me. I'm allowing you to go through it for your good. That's what He told Paul. Paul says, take this thorn out of my flesh three times. When Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul says, well, you're right, Lord. I can go on. I have this thorn all in my life, amen. But I know God's grace and mercy. Amen. But instead of God-given circumstances, it becomes a curse to us. That's what the children of Israel. God blessed them out of Egypt. Sign, wonders, and miracles. But God, what You have to give us, we don't like. It became a curse. When they were supposed to go inherit the land, it became a curse where they had to wander 40 years. That generation died. So don't let the God-given circumstances or situations that's happened in your life right now that God may be ordaining, don't let it become a curse to you because you won't trust God. And you won't have faith in God because your purpose is greater than your circumstances. Amen. Numbers 13, 32 through 35. We know this story of the 12 spies that were sent to spy out the land that God had already promised to them. And we pick up in verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we are in our own sight. You get this, in our own sight, they said, that we are like grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. See, if they realized that the people already knew and heard the stories about the people of God, how they destroyed and wiped out everything and everybody that God said that He would. So they were already scared of the people of God. But when the people of God came in, the men that had no faith, they said, we look like grasshoppers to them, and they look like grasshoppers. We look like little ants to them. They already gave a negative report of them on their own self. They doomed their own self. What should have been a blessing became a curse to them. Amen. Amen. And when we had saw the giants again, in verse 14, chapter 14, verses 1 through 9, and all the congregations lift up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Why they murmured against Aaron and Moses? Moses, the passage is following God's direction. But they murmur against the man of God and not God. You the one who said this stuff. People don't complain against God too much. They wept against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, now they get more people in it, would God that we had died in Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. Verse 3, and therefore have God brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? How many of you want to go back to the world because your taskmaster was such a blessing to you? Didn't you enjoy doing drugs? Didn't you enjoy getting high? Didn't you enjoy all the depression and all these things that God took away from? Don't you enjoy that? Hey, man, we remember in the world every Monday, every Sunday morning when we were crying to the toilet bowl, God, I ain't doing it again. But next week we found ourselves doing the same thing again. Amen. In verse 4, and they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. In verse 5, then Moses and Aaron, amen, and it fell before the faces of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Now, instead of, how can you, your brother and sisters going through things, man, I'm leaving God. It's like, I was like, what's wrong with you? You got the Holy Ghost just like me. It's the same God who saved you, saved me. It's the same blood. How can you say you want to walk away? Don't walk away from church. I would beg you and plead you. This is the place. In this house, there is hope. Away from God, we talked about that last week. Adam and Eve became spiritually separated from God. Not physically, but God had to call to ask, Adam, where are you? We can't do that. The people, the two, 12 men went in. 10 came back with a bad report. But two of them says, guess what? God made a promise to us. We can go in and take these people. I don't care how big they are, how many armies they got. My God is bigger than He can supply all my needs. So you can't tell me nothing. Hey man, I'm not going to believe anything except what the Word said. Whose report will you believe? Hallelujah. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread to us. That's what Joshua and Caleb said. Their defense is departed. They already just said they just going to come in and wipe us out. You're defeating yourself, like what's said in the teaching. You're your own worst enemy. We're our own mind and our own emotions will keep us and keep us in thought. When God has said, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. In the story of Goliath, these giants, their problems, the children of Israel, their problems became bigger than their God. God created all things, so how are you going to say some man is greater than God? We can't beat them. When God says, why are you saying you can't? You don't know how you're going to get out your situation. Where are you going to get the money from? Who are you going to trust? Don't let your circumstances become bigger than your God. You had the army of Israel. And one Goliath said, send me a man. And a little boy goes out. And the circumstance laughed. Huh, you little boy, I'm going to feed you to the fish. And you know what David says? What? You shame the name of my God? He took them five, that one stone. He says, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to cut off your head with your own sword, and I'm going to feed your flesh to the bird. Come on now. My circumstances will never be bigger than my God. And don't let your circumstances get so big that you lose faith in God. That God can't deliver you. God can't heal. God can't take you out your situation or turn things around for your good. David said, how dare you? How dare you? David was still young in the Lord when God had already did things in his life, when he was still a shepherd, when his brother was saying, that's just a little snotty-nosed kid, love to play harp, little sissy five. But David was out there in the field reading the Word, praising God, and God had delivered him out of the bear and the lion's mouth already. See, nobody else knew that. See, I'm sure the army of Israel was like, oh yeah, well, why are we sending him out? He's just going to be devoured just like that. But David was like, if you don't know like I know what he's done for me, hey man. And then all of a sudden, David was exalted above the king, the backslidden king that wouldn't trust in God. Because Saul's circumstances, because he was afraid of the people, what the people were saying. See, God had already proven that he was God and that David needed to trust him. See, God has already proven himself to you that he is God. Hey, man, so don't be fearful. Don't doubt. Your circumstances is not greater than your purpose. If God has given you a word and a promise, and it's already in the Scripture, amen. It's already in the Word of the God. Amen. The gates of hell cannot prevail against you. There is no weapon that form against you shall prosper. You will have trials. You will have tribulation. But there is a God, like Paul said, that delivered me from them all. Amen. Don't let what's supposed to be a blessing become the curse. Amen. We are never victims. We are never victims in God. We are always victorious. You are never a victim by serving God. Your adversary, your enemy, wants you to believe that. That you have no power to control anything. You don't. But God that I serve, I just say, hey, that's my big brother. You know, when you're a kid and you got a couple brothers, be like, hey, I'll go get my big brother. He'll kick off. My dad is better than your, bigger and badder than your dad. Hey, man, you don't believe I call him quick as a whip. Jesus, come on. Hey, man, that's all I want to know. Jesus, that's the only name which is above all names. Hey, man, we are never victims, but we're victorious. If you make yourself to be a victim, then you always will be defeated. If you make yourself a victim, you will always be defeated. You will always have doubt and fear and lack of faith. Amen. Your purpose is greater than your circumstances. Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. Luke 24 and 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. What power? Luke 10 and 19, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Your purpose is greater than your circumstances. God is for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? You are more than conquerors. Amen. Power to be overcomers. Amen. In your circumstances. Power to be victorious through all your trials and situations. Power to trust. Power to have peace. Power to praise. Power to be set free. Power to be delivered if you want to be. We shackle our own selves from serving God, from trusting in God. If the wind is blowing real hard towards you, what is the only way that you can go forward? You ever been in a strong wind?
Yeah, you can do that.
How about just tuck your head down and go? But if you stand straight up and let the wind hit you, it's going to knock you over. When you're living for God, whatever you want, you got to go after it, because a situation is going to come. You put your head down and say, I'm going in and I'm trusting in God. I'm going through this. It's going to, the wind is going to, the situation is going to hit you. Hey, man, you may slow up some, but you just keep on in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengtheneth me. Hey, man, that's how you do it. That's how you do it. Amen. Or if you look too long at the winds and you see all the destruction and what it's going to do, just like Peter stopped and took his eyes off Jesus, then it's going to be hard. Then your circumstances become bigger than your purpose. You don't need to look at the situations around you. God has said, trust in me. He put one ark, one window in the ark, so they can look up, because he says, look up, for that's where your help coming from. Amen. Hallelujah. You get scared right of a blessing. Please stand. Coming to a close. Don't let your circumstances and situations and things in your life become bigger than your God. Mark 4, 37 through 40. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him. You're going to disturb Jesus. Jesus, we dying over here. Oh man, our situations. They gave me a phone call, said they're going to come possess the house and the car. Hey man, they're going to take away the kids. Somebody, you say, well, amen. Oh glory. But he was in the hinder part of the boat, asleep on the pillow. And they awoke him and say unto him, Master, carest thou that we perish? Again, what's wrong with that picture? If Jesus is asleep and resting on a pillow, you think Jesus is going to die? If Jesus sleeps, that should let you know, hey, I shouldn't have to worry. Jesus is not bothered. And then they go wake him. Carest thou that we perish? That's how it feels when you're in this situation that you're going to die. You can't get out of it. There's no way out. The depression hits, the emotions hit, and you feel, I just want to die. Jesus, where are you? He wakes up and says, oh ye of little faith, where did you doubt? And then he'd stand up in the boat and says, wind and storms, peace be still. And the waves stop immediately. He was testing them. He says, don't let what you can see, don't let your circumstances become greater than your purpose. I was trying to teach you boys, but you failed again. Guess we got to go to the other side. What's on the other side, people? Can't hear you. The devil was waiting for them when they got off the boat on the other side. He said, you failed. Guess what? I got something else waiting for you. I bet you they learned after that. Jesus is with you. He is trying to lead and to guide you. But you must let him. The scripture says that the Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you into all truth. If you don't want to be led, you won't be led. You will resist. But you have to let God do it. But to do that, you have to trust him. You have to have faith, and you won't have trust and faith because he says faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word, you must be in the house of God where the preaching is. You got to have the Spirit. You got to have trust. He already showed and proved himself that he's God. Amen. Proverbs 3 and 6, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. God, you are the Lord of all. Lord, I give you control of everything that is in my life. Acknowledge him. And all, Lord, I need you for all things. You got to be like a little baby that relies everything on their mom and dad. They don't worry about eating or being protected. It comes automatically by their parents. And you got to be that way with God. God, I need you for everything. God, why is the sky blue? And just keep asking the why. God, come to him like a little child. Lord, I need you for everything. God, I place my finances, my career, my child raised, everything into your hands, Jesus, because you know what's best for me. I don't. God handpicked you. You need to realize that. He handpicked you to be on the team. But it's up to you to say whether you want to be on the team or not. See, can you imagine on a pro team, a guy comes, yeah, they may have talent, but he want to take over and says, you know what? I don't need a coach. I want to get out there. I want to do the minutes that I want. When I want to take a break, I'll come take a break. I'm going to call pizza on the sideline. Because I'm the star. See, without the team, without me, the team is going to fail. They'd be like, sir, yeah, you are that good, but you know what? They have free agency. You can go find you another team. Amen. But God has handpicked you. Our purpose is not just to be housewives and clerks and military men and women or any of these earthly or natural things. It comes with it because we live in this world. But our purpose, what God has ordained and called you and saved you for, is for a greater purpose. It's for soul winning. It's to get people to know who Jesus is. It's to tell the good news. That's what God has called you and handpicked you for. Your purpose is greater than your circumstances. To bring people to Christ. Luke 4:17-19. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. This is you and I. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me. He is sending you, he is sending I, to heal the broken, to tell people that there is an answer to their problem and their situation. Let me tell you about my story. I was in situations that I thought I was going to die until I called upon the name. And he reached down just like he told Peter when he began to seek it. The Bible says, and immediately he stretched out his hand and saved them. And God was there for me, and ever since then he has never left me. He has never forsaken me every time I called upon him. But I had to learn to trust him. See, we have problems with trusting in this God that we put in a form like a man. Especially women with relationship with another man. Because we have bad relationship with earthly men and women, we have problems serving God. He says, don't treat me like I'm of some man. I'm your creator. I don't want nobody to perish. You're my children. The Bible says if your natural parents know how to give you good gifts, how much more do your heavenly Father want to give you the Holy Ghost to them who ask? It's very simple. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you to preach deliverance to the captive and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. How many of you was bruised at one time in your life because of situation, because of people? Bruised. But God sets you free. God has made you whole. So he's given you a ministry. He's calling you. Hey man, God will put people in your life, in your path, exactly how you were. Because you will know how to minister to them. You will know that you will be able to say with a heartfelt, I know exactly what you are going through. God delivered me from the same mess, and he can deliver you too. That's why your purpose is always greater than your circumstances. Don't let your circumstances become bigger than your God. Your purpose. You got to remember that from the rest of the day of your life, living for God. You got to talk to yourself sometimes. Come on, man, get it together. Your purpose is great. God didn't call you to... You think he's going to bring y'all? He didn't bring the children of Israel out to go through the wilderness or to go to the intermediate of their promised land for them to get killed, for people just to come and slaughter them. He was like, no, I'm going to go before you. I'm going to go before you and fight your battles for you. All you got to do is come in and possess what I've already established. It's already in the Word. All you got to do is possess it. You want the Holy Ghost? Just come and get it. Just separate yourself from the Bible says you want to continue to live for God. But he says, I call you because I need you to reach the people, because somebody prayed for you when you wasn't thinking about God. Somebody was fasting for you when you weren't, because they were being obedient to me, because they went through it. See, unless we go through it, we don't know what it's like. How many know what it's like to be a millionaire? And now you're back to here, you had to settle because you blew all the money. Now you had to settle for the military. But there's people like that, billions of dollars, and they go bankrupt. They're like, how could you do that? This is very important that you have to remember that your purpose, why God's called you, why God is calling you. There's somebody out there that's just like you. And for some, that may be scary. It is. But you know what it's like without God and with God now. They don't. all they know is what I'm in right now, it's going to kill me. What I'm in right now is going to break up my marriage. What's happening right now, my kids are going to be lost or whatever. What I'm in right now, the doctors can't fix. That's all they know, because they're used to being in the world without God. But God says, I had to bring you through. So now you understand. That's why He said, that's why I came down and rolled myself in flesh. I was a spirit. I didn't have to come down. But I rolled myself in flesh and I walked the walk as human beings. I was hungry. I was hurt. I was spat upon, and eventually they killed me. So now as your mediator, I can tell you that my loved ones, that I came to save the loved ones, they rejected me. He can say, I know what it's like to be hungry. I know what it's like for when you come to save somebody, they just spit in your face and say, get away. We don't need you. That's how, why your God is so merciful and loving, because He says, you know what? I know exactly what you're going through. He wept for the children of Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how I long to take you under my wings just like a mother hen would and to protect you. But He says, you would not let me. And even when He was on the cross, He said, forgive them, Father, because they know not what they do. He says, I know what you're going through. But I had the power, because I was God, to lay down my own life and to bring. And I have the same power to resurrect you and bring you to a newness of life so that other people can have salvation. That's why God is calling you. That's why He's drawing you. That's why He's doing what He's doing in your life. Because your purpose is greater than your circumstances. So if you're going through some things, if maybe in the past that you have doubted God and you question God because the world do, well, why did God allow all these people to die for things? God is God. If you need to just come talk to God, the altars are open. But you need to come down and get a hold of the altar and say, God, I trust in you and I believe in you, God. Now I know, God, that my purpose... People always want to know, well, what's my purpose in life? Why was I born? God want to draw you so He can be, so you can be like Him. So you can help save others. That's why. That's your purpose. Teach your children to love God and to praise God and to obey God. So you can be a witness in the light. So people are going to be drawn to God by you and through you. All you have to do is possess what God has given you. That's already promised. Again, the altars are open. We can just stay and just talk to God a little bit. Amen. He's here. He's waiting. Amen. Oh, glory, glory, Jesus. Lord, I know I didn't always trust you. I may have had doubt. But after you brought me through my situation, God, I trust you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might. Lord, help us, Lord Almighty God, in the areas of our life where we don't trust or we have lack of faith. Jesus, now that I look back on the situation, I thank you that I had to go through it, because it made me the man that I am today. It made me so much more grateful, and I love you so much more than now that I've come out, because I know and without a doubt that you love me. The Bible says that Jesus chastised those that He loved.